We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
MF on EEI.
Gonna get it to White, looking to get to the pylon. He's in for the touchdown. And the Patriots take the lead.
When they do play good, like the Ravens game, they are a good football team.
Newton gonna take it outside. He's got a lane. Newton looking for the first down and getting it. And decked out of bounds. And a flag too, and 15 yards to that one.
I think he's in bounds. I think it's more the helmet to helmet.
Personal foul. Defense number 48. 15-yard penalty. Automatic first down.
This will be exactly 50 yards out from Nick Folk. Snap and hold are good. Folk is good! And the Patriots win it!
Do you feel like this is a playoff team?
I think we can go 1-0 next week. Just for the record, every game in Foxborough, Massachusetts is a must-win.
Step one of the six-step making it to the playoff plan was completed.
Did anybody follow Wiggy from the beginning of the season straight through where we are now through, 11 games or whatever? He's, like, changed his mind, like, 12 times on where this team is or whatever. Now they're a good team.
At one point, he had them at 4 wins.
Yeah. And then another time, he had them at 12 wins.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's been
like
all
a week
all
later.
Over the place.
Yeah, his new nickname, we just gave it to him on Sunday during the pregame show, was Hold the Door.
I like that.
The dude from whatever that, what the hell's the name of that show? Game of Thrones. Yeah. Hold the door. Hold the door. He just holds it open. It doesn't matter what is going on. He is going to hold the door open for the Patriots no matter what is going on.
2-2 they lost to the Chiefs. He declared them the best team in the AFC, and that game proved it.
Yep.
The next week, I think, is when they lost to Denver, and he said 4-12.
Costa Rica.
They play their ass off virtually every single week. There have been a couple of weeks that, you know, maybe you could question it. But overall, the effort's been there. Coaching, scheming, all of that stuff. And if they had a better quarterback, maybe they win two more games. I mean, if Tom Brady is here, he's having his own issues, but they're probably a couple wins better. But Christian still thinks there is a chance they could find a way into the playoffs, but he's relying on, like, a virus breakout. And
Wait a second. It's happening. Glenn,
what's happening?
The virus is affecting teams that you need to lose.
Well, Baltimore,
case in point. Right. They may have to forfeit games. The road, but they may have the easiest remaining schedule when you look at it, but it kind of gets convoluted and a little bit difficult just by the fact that they have all these COVID issues, because their last three games are against all winless teams. Not winless teams, but crappy teams.
Jacksonville,
the
Giants, Jags. Cincinnati.
Yes. Right. Yeah. So it's not like, and the Giants.
And the COVID. And we'll the see if there's like a COVID fog, right? Because they're going to lose this game on Tuesday, correct?
I would think so, okay. Yes.
And then
Lamar
Jackson, And then they come back in somewhat of a short week against Dallas.
Right.
We have no clue who's going to be on that football team, who's going to be able to play.
Right.
Or how they're going to look after not practicing for 2 weeks. We caught that act. Yeah, now, we caught the Patriots version of it. You know, we missed the Tennessee version of it, which is maybe what we thought we were going to get, but it took the Pats a couple of weeks. Does it take the Ravens a couple of weeks? Because you're right, see, that schedule the rest of the way after this week, you could see them winning out.
Yeah, but I wouldn't even say just sitting there and just hoping that it happens, is crazy. I think it's happening, it's happened, and it will continue to happen. It's just a matter how, like the Dolphins, for example. Looking pretty good right now. They haven't had any COVID issues. The Raiders, one of the team, they've had a ton of them. Baltimore's had a ton of them. The Bills, I wouldn't even worry about them. But when I look at the remaining five games, I say, listen, you can lose one. You can lose one. And you can lose two if you get another COVID outbreak. If it starts, what we've seen is the league doesn't care. They don't care who you are. They made the Denver Broncos go out there and play games without a quarterback. So they don't care how you're affected. It's your fault. You'll deal with it. Forget about this whole competitive balance thing. They don't care.
Can't win two. They can't lose two. Because that would be 8-8.
Wait, you're missing the COVID factor, Glenn.
No, I'm not
removing it.
No, I'm not.
COVID.
So let me give it to you.
But even
you're not looking at the math.
8-8 and 8 teams go in.
Right?
No, I don't think 8-8 gets you in.
Well, already Buffalo has 8 wins.
If you have a COVID outbreak, you're going to add an extra playoff game.
No, Christian. Buffalo has 8 wins. Cleveland has 8 wins.
I'm not looking at Buffalo.
Miami and Indianapolis have 7. There's your playoffs. They only need 1 win. Miami and Indianapolis to get to
it. What you're looking at is, I mean, and Cleveland kind of, you know, sitting at 8-3 is one of those teams, I think, Christian, you put in that, like, Miami category. Like, you don't know who they are, right? But they go to 8-3. So now you're looking at, like, you know, one more win gets them at 9, obviously. It's Miami and Indy. And I think Indy is a good team. They just got their ass whooped yesterday. And I think we've seen that a few times in this league. Every once in a while, a good team just looks like crap. And they got their doors blown up. But I still think Indy is a playoff team. Miami's probably the biggest question mark you have. So you're looking at, say, Miami, 7-4, Baltimore, who will be 6-5, Vegas, I don't think you believe in them, 6-5. So those three teams, you got to jump ahead of. And I just don't think this team is good enough. You know, we were here 2 weeks ago when they beat Baltimore. And it was like, okay, listen, this is not a good team. You know, and I thought they would lose to Houston. They did, because this is just who they are. So they beat this team here this past week. Would you be shocked if they lost to the Chargers? Like, if all of a sudden Herbert just absolutely lights them up?
No.
I wouldn't. You know, so this is what a 500 football team or a bad football team that maybe gets to 8-8, but most likely 7 wins. Most likely 7 at this point.
Yeah, I listen, if they end up 7-9, they end up 7-9. But what I think is happening and you know, is just how the virus is – and how the NFL has flat out just, you know, almost militant rules and regulations.
Militant?
Militant, yes. Okay. Militant rules and regulations.
How?
Just, hey, listen, I didn't have my mask on for 5 seconds. Violation. Hey, listen, I took my mask off so I could eat a sandwich. Violation. Yeah, even listen, because that's what they did to the Denver Broncos. Hey, they fined the New England Patriots. After we all assumed that they had went through the investigation phase and they determined that they were compliant, and sure enough, they fined them $350,000.
So we asked
were
Bill
they compliant or not?
Yeah. Well, we asked Bill about it, and he wasn't going to give us the answer. And you know, he knows the answer. He knows exactly
why you asked
him. Exactly. Yeah.
What'd you guys do?
Right. And he won't say it, but or at least what they're accusing him of doing. Because don't you guys remember this? And I looked it up yesterday, going back to Dr. Mills and what he was saying about New England after the investigation. Because in Tennessee, they found all sorts of breaks with protocol. With New England, they said just the opposite, that New England followed exactly what they were supposed to do. I don't get it. And then Bill doesn't answer it. I don't get it.
No, and he's not going to answer it. But when you listen, I'm not saying it's easy, but based on the unpredictability of the season, based on just the crazy set of circumstances that we're all dealing with, it's not beyond, you know, comprehension for them to get like displaced. Like certain teams, like Sanford, like do we actually think, and I said this to Bill because I actually think it's going to happen. I think the L.A. County Health Department
just
is going to come in and throw some sort of rule in where they can't play there.
They'll play somewhere different. Like we said, the 49ers are going to be playing in Arizona the next 2 weeks. So, okay, they go to Arizona. They're going to play on Sunday next week. Arizona's got a home game and it'll be on Monday. So they will just adjust. But going back to the Patriots' $350,000 fine, like it is amazing to think that after, you know, Dr. Sills came out and basically said they were compliant, that they got the same fine as the Tennessee Titans, who were out there all week long practicing, you know, at the local little private school. Like, they were told to stay home. They were told to stay away from each other. They continued to practice all week together in groups. And your team got the exact same fine as the Tennessee Titans? People are talking about coming down hard on the Titans, taking draft picks, forfeiting games.
Forfeiting games, yeah.
Your team got the same fine they did. That's crazy to me.
And they took a draft pick from the Saints for celebrating too much. Yeah. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It starts with the way things look, and you know, having the power to implement these rules and forcing everybody to hold true to them. It's ridiculous. They don't make sense. But at this point, it doesn't matter. What the NFL has shown is that they're not going to play around. So that's why I think another team is going to do something stupid. I mean, and it could be as simple and innocent as just walking through the hallway with your mask off. When I do the post game shows for CBS, sometimes they'll let us go inside to the stadium on this little plaza area. And even when I'm walking from the security entrance to the elevator, there's nobody there. It's late. I got to have my mask on. They reprimand you if you don't, even if there's nobody there. Doesn't matter.
Can I ask
the rules
you something?
Are the rules.
Were you wearing like a nose clip on that mask yesterday? Was there something on
top
of the mask?
Yeah, it kept falling off. I can't find a mask that works, so I clip it so it doesn't like ride up on me. But it still doesn't work.
I noticed that. You were still adjusting it. I mean, it's very difficult. Hey, listen, anything is possible right now with what we're dealing with. I just think it is really a long shot.
It is.
If
it
you're
is
thinking
a long
of the Patriots.
No, it's better than normal years.
The math doesn't work.
No, and you know what? You're going to be just in that absolute no man's land. You know, and people, you know, at the end of the year, all I guarantee, like, when the season's over, all these people are going to come out of the woodwork, and they're going to sit there and say, "Oh, it's so stupid. Why'd you finish 7-9 when you could have been 5-11, and you could have been sitting there with the 5th or 6th or 7th pick?" Like, it's so predictable. But right now, everybody wants them to win. I don't know about you guys. I'm watching that game late. I'm rooting for the guy Gonzalez to hit that field goal. I'm like, you know what? All right, whatever. It's a good win. You know, a good loss, whatever you want to call it. Defense looked good. You know, okay, time to move on. Take another L. Let's go. You could be 4-7 sitting here, you know, where you need to be because it should be on the big picture. We watch your quarterback. He ain't the answer. He's not the answer. Your quarterback is in the draft. And with every win, you're getting further and further away from that guy. And that is not good. You could be short-sighted all you want, but if you want this team to rebuild, you shouldn't be happy with 7-9 and missing the playoffs by a game or two. You really shouldn't.
Listen, I know you've been critical, and rightfully so, in the last few years with Bill Belichick's drafting. I am convinced, the more and more I see, I think he's going to be fine putting together a roster next season and the year after that, especially with the extra money. What the big question I have
free
is...
Free agency is not sustainable. You're chasing your tail.
All right.
That's not building anything. That's clogging some holes.
Okay, but here's the question I have. How does he get a quarterback? And you're right, Lou. If you keep on moving down in the draft...
You're like 16th pick right now. Is that good?
The chances of getting that quarterback that you need are not good. And you can look at Kansas City. How did Kansas City turn it around? They were okay with Alex Smith, right? Once they got Patrick Mahomes and he became the starter, you saw what they became, a championship contender and then a champion. And you can look at Lamar Jackson and what happened with Baltimore. They were down in the skids. And look what they came back up. We're seeing it now with these young quarterbacks. If you don't get one of those guys, you can have all of the great players and the hustle players and all of these guys that are making great plays. And I don't understand how you get back to a playoff level. You need that quarterback. All right, 617-779-7937. That is our phone number. The Patriots are now 5-6. Are they playoff bound? We'll take phone calls coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
We also took the additional step, Judy, of reviewing the video from inside the Patriots facility to look at the compliance with mask wearing. And what we found there was the compliance was very high. Cam Newton was wearing a mask. He was wearing his tracking device, and everyone around him was wearing a mask. So that gave us some comfort that given the facts of no additional positive tests, given the apparent compliance of the team, and given the way that the close contacts were labeled, that we could move forward.
It's Dr. Sills a while back. That was the week of the Kansas City game. And he was saying they did all the right things. And yet now the league slaps them with a $350,000 fine. We tried to get it out of Bill. He wasn't going to tell us. Obviously, he knows what they're claiming the Patriots did. But doesn't that seem excessive or militant, as you said, Christian? That's a lot of money.
Well, I mean, yes. Okay, so obviously they did something that they didn't like. So on one hand, we're hearing that they're compliant and they did everything right. And if that's the case, then why would you find them afterwards? What kind of new information did you find that put a bunch of other players at risk? What was it? Well, Cam Newton. Was it Cam Newton did?
I don't know what's going on with the league and the reluctancy to go to week 18. Like, obviously you'd never want to go to week 18 unless you have to, right? Like, I get it. It's probably a nightmare scenario for them. But you got a game going on here tomorrow night that I don't know how they're still playing it. I mean, we talk about the one thing that can shut games down is like an outbreak. You know, consecutive days. Baltimore's on, what, 8 consecutive days of players?
No practice.
8
right.
consecutive days of players testing positive.
And no practice again today.
No practice again. And you're going to play a football game tomorrow.
Right.
So there has to be more to it. Like the Denver game, I get it. You know, the Denver game, they might look at them and say, you know what, screw you. You guys broke protocol. You know, no one's walking around with masks. You lost all your quarterbacks. Hey, it's your fault. Deal with it. Go play a football game without a quarterback. And maybe they're doing the same with Baltimore, right? Because that's basically how it started. You know, the conditioning coach, whatever it was, wasn't wearing a mask, and trainer or whatever you want to call it. But the reluctancy to move to week 18, I don't know if it's like just a logistical nightmare as far as television goes, contracts, union, whatever it is. But the fact they haven't canceled this game tomorrow night is... I can't even understand why.
Okay, I can understand why.
It's going on every day.
It does not surprise me, and I think it is all tied into what you just said. It's all tied into TV. So let's look at the Denver game. The Denver game was going to be a regional game. It was only going to be seen in 2 markets. Not a big deal. Screw you. You're going to go play the game. Okay, I don't care if you have no quarterbacks, you know, and you can't use a coach. That's what they said. Baltimore and Pittsburgh was a prime time game. So what they're doing is that's going to be seen through 90% or 85% of the country. That's big bucks for the network. Is it Fox, I think, that's doing that game? That's big bucks for them. They're sitting here as Fox is saying, we need this game. We've got all of this inventory sold for this game nationally. We need it. And so they're going to play that game. And they moved it to Tuesday because we all found out networks will take Tuesday night because they found out they get good ratings on Tuesday night. I think it's all about TV money. And when you talk about the 18th week, Lou, my guess is something to do with TV again.
I just don't think that I don't think they want to deviate from their schedule at all. I think they want to stay true to their schedule, and they don't want to move unless they have to. The last time something like this happened, it was 9/11. And there was debate whether or not we should cancel that week and force it and push the game into that one, you know, so there's no break. And that was the last time they made some sort of crazy change. And that's because the United States was under attack. We had a bunch of terrorists blow up the Twin Towers. So I don't think they're going to deviate from their plan because they don't want to. I think they started off with the premise, okay, here's the plan, guys. Whatever we have to do to keep the season the way it is, we don't want to add extra weeks. They want to stay true. They don't want to kick this into, you know, middle of February, into March. They don't want to do that. So
I think the big concern, too, is that if you just sit there and say, all right, listen, Baltimore, Pittsburgh, you guys, you're playing week 18. Now, you've still got 5 more weeks. God forbid something happens again to, say, Baltimore or Pittsburgh. It's right. Fine if it's another team.
And it's
week
19.
Can sit there and say, okay, now we've got 3 games. You know, it affected 6 teams. We have 3 games on week 18. Okay, now we got a slate there on Sunday. But if it ever happens to Baltimore or Pittsburgh, what do you do? What do you do? You talk about this outbreak right now. At some point they may be forced to do it, but you can't have a week 19. Can you? Just because Baltimore and Pittsburgh have another game that they got to make up?
You could. I think they could move the Super Bowl all the way to that President's Day weekend. They could do that.
But teams going to have 3 weeks? Like, teams that aren't affected are going to have 3 weeks? You know, because they don't play week 18. They're done. They didn't have any games affected. They don't play week 19. They're done. You know, hell, maybe one of those teams is the bye. you know, they're done. Like, you know, it's like 3 weeks before you play a first game.
The thing is that they're almost there.
They're almost,
they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, but that light could be a train. It could be a train going down the track, which would mean multiple teams having similar issues. And I feel like that's more likely to happen than them to get out of this, you know, issue-free.
Well, the big moment will be today, apparently at 5, according to Albert Breer, because they're going to wait 5 o'clock. I believe that's the time when they're going to know whether any additional players have tested positive. Like, the results come back at 5 p.m., as you mentioned. I think, Tyler, we talked about it during the cross, or the trending, rather. You know, they'll have a walkthrough, possibly, you know, at 5 o'clock. Once they realize everybody is negative, then they're going to play the game. But if there's another player or two on these teams today, again, for the 9th consecutive day, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you just, you know, because at some point, you know, they talk about player safety. At some point, aren't you concerned that, like, one team doesn't have professional football players playing and another team does?
Well, you saw that with the Broncos.
Well, that's what I mean. So you talk about player safety. Like, the Saints just pinning their ears. They got this poor kid back there, Hinton, whatever his name is.
Hinton, yeah.
1 for 9. Last time he played was at Wake years ago. He was awful. So they're just running, like, Philip Lindsay and, like, Wildcats, and they're just pinning their ears. So you talk about player safety. I mean, at some point, don't you have to be concerned that it's not even the same level of teams playing against one another?
So how about this? So there was a time, a couple of weeks ago, the Raiders had a situation where I think 7 out of the 10 offensive linemen
didn't practice. They played, though.
But they were lucky, so they were actually able to play in the game. But imagine if you have 7 of the 10 guys, and you can really – you don't have any offensive linemen. The fact that it was the quarterback position leads me to believe that they won't make an exception for any situation.
Well, to your point, like, if the 5 offensive linemen that they
– it
wasn't earlier in the week, and it was, say, Friday –
yeah.
And you try to play a game without your starting offensive line. Aren't you putting everybody just at risk? Running back, quarterback, they're going to get killed.
Yeah.
And, you know, you play that game and your quarterback goes down. Your starting quarterback, you know, Derek Carr goes down, hurts his knee because he's got 5 guys who shouldn't be playing in the NFL on the offensive line. But you know what? We had to play the game. Really? Is that where we're going right now?
So if you're Baltimore right now and you haven't been able to practice in the last week and a half, and you know your quarterback can't go and a bunch of other significant players can't go, do you really want to play this game tomorrow night, or are you hoping for another positive test?
Well, you don't want to just take an L because you want to get paid.
No. They'll move the game forward because, again, it's on national TV and it's guaranteed 85% or 90% of the television markets. That's how they sell these things. So that game is going to get played. But if I'm Baltimore, I don't think I want to play tomorrow night because I think my chances of winning are very slim. All right, 617-779-7937. A couple bizarre calls in the Patriots game yesterday. Did they get them right? That and your phone calls coming up next here on OMF.
Based on their explanation of it, Jennings just has to basically allow himself to get run over or show his hands that he's trying not to de-cleat him. Is that basically the coaching point?
Whatever the officials say the rule is, that's what it is. It doesn't really matter what you think or what I think. The way the play is being officiated is the way that, you know, we have to play it.
Well, you were certainly working it with the photos. What were you trying to show them?
It was actually a different play. Didn't have anything to do with that play.
Okay.
Hmm.
It was really? During that timeout. It was during that timeout, so I guess I just thought it had
what
to be
play?
That
what
play.
What other play was it?
It wasn't another play.
Oh, so he wasn't being
truthful?
It was
truthful? That play. It's not an honest answer to an honest question. Sorry. Hmm. It was that play. He was freaking out in the sidelines. He had a printout, and he's screaming at him, showing him.
Why wouldn't Builders be honest about that?
It was
an honest answer to an honest question.
Do you guys really believe
it was another play?
No. I think if you look at Bill and he was asked questions after the game, he is not going to take shots at those officials. And you see coaches do it all the time. Game's over and they get fined and they rip the officiating and we got screwed and this and that. Bill's never done that. He won't do that. He won't go there.
Yeah, the Anfernee Jennings blindside block, I mean, fine. Okay, by the letter of the law, I guess technically he was wrong. But just by just – and that's why I call it an optic flag. It looked bad. You know, he gave him a good hit. He moved up. He didn't actually.
Well, they were facing each other, Christian. That was the thing.
He got the better of him.
Right.
The guy was bracing for contact. I don't know who the guy was that he was blocking. I forgot who it was. But he was bracing for contact. He identified the situation as being, you know, a collision. It wasn't like he just was surprised and didn't see it. So the fact that they threw the flag had more to do with the fact that both of them fell on the ground and Jennings ended up, like you see his right elbow kind of flare up, and they called the flag on him.
It's almost like the way of the league now. When you see like a violent hit,
yeah,
like their first reaction is to reach for the flag and throw it and then figure it out later.
Yeah.
Because it's just, oh my God, it's a violent hit in the NFL. We have men that are 250 pounds that run 4.640s, like hitting each other too hard. So because of it, we got to throw a flag on it. Listen, by letter of the law, it might be a penalty, but it's the stupidest freaking penalty I've ever seen in my life. Like, he is facing him, and this guy is running, what, 40, 50, 30 yards, full speed. He's standing still. He blocks him. And it's a penalty?
I don't get it. Right
in front of him the whole time. He didn't clean his clock from, like, where he couldn't see him coming from the side or something like that, even then. But it's So what do you want to do? I guess you just stand there and just to try to get him to slow down a little bit. That just get in his way, like a pick, right? Like a pick play, a wide receiver. You don't want to necessarily make contact with the corner, but just make him shuffle his feet so he loses stride and loses speed a little bit.
So I was totally confused with it. And Daryl Johnson, who was on the telecast, did not like the call, thought it was a terrible call. And then we, of course, have our buddy Dean Blandino.
To our rules expert, Dean Blandino. Dean, can you take us through this penalty?
Yeah, I mean, I'm like Moose. I don't love the call, but here's the deal. And the question is he moving back toward his own goal line? He does get stationary. What they're asking players to do there is just shield off your opponent. Don't drop the shoulder, even though he doesn't go to the head neck area. I think the league is going to support this as a blindside block. But again, I don't love it, but he's got to shield him, make that block other than throw the shoulder into the body.
But Dean, doesn't he expose himself to injury? Doesn't Anthony Jennings expose himself to injury playing a pick play in basketball?
He could, absolutely. And that's part of the issue with making that block in that situation.
And that's why it makes no sense.
No.
It doesn't make any sense.
So just sort of stand there and let him run you over or push him. Like the guy's running full speed at him. No, really, the only thing you could do is, like I said, just sort of get in his way like you were just like a pick.
See,
you know what I mean?
My thing is like, so when the
get
refs
blown
get,
up.
When the refs get, I guess, graded, they won't get a negative. They won't get a minus.
No.
They'll say, you know, this could go either way because, they have the pool reporters at the end of the game, and they were asked, in a situation like that where the player that was blocked appears to still be alive as a potential tackler of the returner, what are officials looking for in a player blocking him to stay within the rules? He would either have to shield him or use his hands. Because even while the play was going live, you heard, I think it was Daryl Johnson, I'm not really sure, say, hey, listen, he's going to need some help. Oshefsi's going to need some help.
Right.
And sure enough, there was Jennings. He didn't peel back. He didn't so he turned back and went back to his own end line. I would just say he just turned around. The timing was perfect. Sure, he could have just kind of stood there, and he would have fallen down anyways, and maybe he still would have done the job, because that's technically what you're going to do. If you have an opportunity to knock somebody out, and it's maybe a little grayer or questionable, you can't do it. You can't do it. They got the call wrong on Cam Newton's play on that 3rd and 13 in the fourth quarter. That was the wrong call.
So let's go to that one. And it was a rough series, if you remember. White loses a yard on the first down, second down, Cam is sacked. Now suddenly they're faced with 3rd and 13. He sweeps left. He picks up 14 yards, but the killer for the Arizona Cardinals, and they were furious about this after the game, is that Isaiah Simmons hits him as he's going out of bounds, maybe a helmet to helmet, and it's a 15-yard penalty, and suddenly the Patriots are in perfect position now with a game-winning field goal. So Cam today on Greg Hill's show admitted to selling that hit. A little bit of acting.
Christian wants us to ask if you were playing possum after that hit, or if you literally got your bell rung a little bit yesterday.
No, I wasn't playing possum. It was, whether they wanted to believe it or not, if I would have got
blew on, touched, brushed, passed by in a forceful way, I was going to flop anyway. You know what I'm saying? So the fact that he hit me as hard as he did, that was kind of surprising, but it is what it is.
Was that really a question from you, or is Greg making
it up again? No, we're friends again.
You're okay? Use your name?
I suggested that. I wanted to make sure
he did get popped. But he lied in that ground, boy. Like, that was it. He wouldn't come back in.
He was dead.
He looked initially. So he basically said, yes, he was playing possum. Yeah. He was playing possum.
Well, you said if he just touched him, he would have went flying into the sidelines.
I was going to flop anyway.
But he popped good.
Well, the fact that it was such a violent hit.
Again, violent hit. Throw the flag.
So it did. As soon as I saw it, I was like, wow, he's not moving. Because Thomas, he did hit him in the head. That's not what they called, but it did look like there was some sort of targeting there, but that wasn't a call on the play. But then after he hit the ground, I was like, man, he's really hurt. I thought it was like one of those soccer games where the guys run out there with the little stretcher. I thought they were going to have to wheel him off the field, but then he just popped out like there
was
nothing
wrong.
So
you think it was a penalty then? Helmet to helmet?
I don't think it was a penalty. The fact is, because they didn't – when they – reviewed it and they went in slow motion, it looked as if he targeted him. His helmet hit Cam Newton.
Well, see,
target.
That's the thing. I think the league can very easily look at that and say helmet to helmet. But we've seen helmet to helmet hits like that to where the initial contact may be in the shoulder. And your helmet ends up hitting his helmet because it's just whatever. I don't know. The two forces coming at each other. But I don't think it was helmet to helmet. I don't think it was a late hit. I think it was a gift to the Patriots. Now, you got screwed in the punt return, but that one there was a gift late in that game and helped you out.
It wasn't a late hit because Newton was inbounds.
Yeah, he was still in the green.
So you have a right to hit the player when he's inbounds. You can't hit him when he's out of bounds. That's a late hit. So it had to be a helmet contact. That was the only thing they could have called on that play.
And when they announced the flag during the game, the official, Bill Vinovich, I believe, never even explained what the personal foul was.
He just
said, personal foul, 15 yards, and then they went on with it.
Right, yeah. Did not. And the only thing it could have been was helmet, and then you could debate whether it was more shoulder, or whether it was helmet. But it couldn't have been a late hit. He was inbounds. What are you supposed to do? So you're going to allow Cam Newton, Isaiah Simmons is going to allow Cam Newton to get another 3 yards? Can't do that.
Yeah, the refs were terrible in this game. Even the offensive pass interference paired with the defensive pass interference.
Right.
So this was nuts. So Hopkins pushes off of Gilmore, and Gilmore kind of grabs his arm.
Yes.
So it's offsetting penalties on the same play.
So I always thought
pass interference coupled with a defensive pass interference. What is that?
I always thought that the first penalty was the one that counts because everything stops at that point. No.
Well, in a play like that, I mean, there's offsetting penalties, right? Holding,
yes.
Defensive, whatever. But in a play like
by two
that,
different individuals.
Did Gilmore sort of grab his arm because he got pushed off, right? So,
yes.
Yeah, to your point, yeah, I would agree. I think, I don't know. I actually think that push off was a little ticky tacky. I don't think he really pushed off that hard. You know what I mean? But listen, they just run the play again. I think the announcers were kind of confused because they were like, now it's fourth down. And I'm like, no, not really.
Yeah, can I tell you, everything is tick-tacky these days when you talk about quarterbacks, especially quarterbacks now. Do you notice that anytime you get the hand anywhere near the helmet now, they are throwing that flag?
But you know what? That's the rule. That's the rule.
But there's a difference between getting the hand up there and really with a violent push as opposed to
trying to block the quarterback, right.
You're trying to block a pass and the quarterback drops his head down.
Yeah.
And that happens a lot.
Yeah, you're trying to block the pass, your arm is up, and he's throwing it, and next thing you know, the rule's the rule, you know? So, I mean, that one there, I understand it sucks, but then again, I mean, we've seen it every single week, and these guys keep complaining. Like, they're slapping quarterbacks in the head or in the face mask with an open palm, and they're losing their ever-loving minds because it's called. And it gets called every single week, every single time it happens.
Yep.
Yeah.
Like, you can no longer use that as, I didn't mean it. Sorry, that's just the rule.
Yeah,
these other two we're talking about, I think, just got wrong.
Yeah, Gilmore's comments after the game, it's like, listen, it's an offensive league. You know, going back to the offensive pass interference, defensive pass interference, it's an offensive league. What do you want me to do?
Yeah,
he's right.
What do you want me to do? Like, yeah, I just, and right. That's why, but the Jennings one on the punt return, I mean, if they don't call anything, I can easily see people being critical of the way that looked.
Because it looked violent.
Why? Yeah, because it looked violent.
Yeah.
It just looked violent. to me, it was a heads-up play. Good job stopping. It wasn't like you got this guy from the side and he didn't see him and you didn't see him looking. So, letter of the law, you turn around, you go back towards your own end line, you can't do it. You just basically just have to give yourself up.
Yeah. Can I tell you, optics man wins again. That's what happens. That's all.
It's
it
an
is.
Optics flag.
Mm-hmm. Yep. That's what
exactly
it is.
What it is. It looks bad. It looks dangerous. Yep. It looks violent. The kids may be scared. Yep. I don't know. What am I going to tell the kids?
But they call it blindside, and you look at it, and they're looking at each other. And I'm sure that's the picture that Belichick was showing. They're looking at each other, right? They're face to face. All right, let's get some phone calls in. Two bizarre calls, though, in the course of yesterday's game. Here's Tim and Natick on OMF. Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, fellas?
What's up, Tim?
You know, the Patriots, it's like Jekyll and Hyde every week. It's like they bring me up and then let me down. And
1-3 out of 4.
If anything, it's interesting. But for the Patriots, honestly, to make the playoffs, they have to win out and go 10-6. Only because I've been looking at everyone's schedule, and I think there's going to be at least 3 or 4 teams that are going to be 10-6. Oddly enough, I think the Patriots have a lot of the tiebreakers. If those teams end up 10-6, like the Colts, like all their losses are going to end up being in the AFC, and I think they'd be tying common opponents. The Dolphins still have to play the Chiefs and us, so there's 2 more losses potentially. So if they end up 10-6. And you're 10-6, you're going to have the tiebreaker on them. I think the Browns, they have an easy schedule the rest of the way, so they're almost guaranteed 10-6 or 11-5. And
so do you believe they're going to make it or not? Do you believe they're going to make it or not?
I'm optimistic. I think they can win 4 out of the last 5. The Rams game is one of those games to me that's going to be up in the air because it's a short week, and they're on the road, and they're staying in L.A. most likely. So.
And the Rams are pretty good. I mean, they're pretty good, especially defensively. I think they could cause some havoc for Cam. Here's Ken. He's in California. Hello, Ken. Lovely state.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good.
Listen, first off, of the 5 remaining games that they have, who is it that they can't beat? Okay? And secondly, if they were to get in, who is it that they can't beat in the AFC? The Chiefs? They had the Chiefs other than stupid Brian Hoyer and Stidham.
Well, again, I would agree. You know, I would agree that when you look at these games, all these teams are beatable. But of the 5 remaining games, which team can't they? You don't think they'll be able to lose to? I mean, they could lose any one of these 5 games, correct?
One, and that puts them at 9-7.
No, I'm just saying, like when you look at these teams. I mean, you can envision them losing to any of these teams. Like when you say none of these teams are unbeatable, they could lose to anybody. This is the New England Patriots, your team.
They could, and they could beat it, and they could beat anybody.
Well, okay, you're a very positive individual, and I appreciate
very
that.
Negative.
From you.
Well, all right,
very
here's
negative.
The other thing. The other thing is that if they got in, you guys know. Well, if they get in, it's one and done. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Kansas City. It's Kansas City or Pittsburgh in the first game.
Kansas City.
Well, or Pittsburgh in the first game. Yes.
Well, Pittsburgh, I don't think they can beat. Kansas City, I think they can.
You think they can beat Pittsburgh or Kansas City? Which team was that?
No, I didn't think you could beat Pittsburgh. I don't know. Hey, you know, Kristen's right.
So what do you think, Super Bowl?
If all of a sudden, and by the way, Pittsburgh bitching all the time about the COVID. Did they? Hey,
all right.
How you doing, guys?
Bitching about the COVID.
We're doing good.
Yeah, I mean, you could listen. You could.
There's optimism
out
there.
Can they win every one of these games? Sure.
Yes. I mean, can they lose every one of them?
No.
Yes.
No. I'll tell you what.
But they
can
also
go
1-5.
They can't win all of these games because they aren't that good. Okay. They have a quarterback that sucks. They don't have a quarterback. They don't have a guy that can throw the football. So can you sneak out a couple ugly wins? Yes. Can you sneak out 5 ugly wins? No. You absolutely cannot. Run the table. I don't think you can go 4-1 because, again, we're missing the fact that you aren't that good. Sure, the Chargers, I think the Chargers are favored by 1.5, which blows my mind. But you could lose that game. Yeah. Thursday night against the Rams, you could lose that game.
Yep.
You could win one of them. Maybe, I guess you could win 2, but if that's the case, then you're going to lose the next 2 because that's just who you are. You're not that good.
They've lost in Miami when the Patriots were good.
I mean, 1 week the secondary and the defense looks outstanding. The next week it doesn't look good at all. 1 week your quarterback's throwing for 360, and the next week he's got a quarterback rating of 23. This is who you are. You are not that good.
3 out of 4.
Oh.
Three out of four, Lou. Yeah,
three out of four. All right.
But again, you've got to admit, Christian, not having a quarterback that is really out there winning games for you is an absolute killer. And you
There's
look
a lot
at
of
it,
smoke and mirrors with these wins, too.
Okay, but you look right, and you look at it even yesterday. So Gonzalez misses that field goal. How did he get in a position to be able to take a, put a field goal out there, okay, to take the lead in the game? Because Cam threw an interception on that drive. And he's making mistakes at crucial times in the game. And now they're going to play the next three out on the road, and people think they're just going to sweep.
And again, that defense did a really nice job getting the ball out of Kyler Murray's hands, but I'm sorry. That is not Kyler Murray you've seen all year long. Even that final play that they got stuffed to force that kick, like he doesn't hand that ball off. He goes around the end and probably takes it to the damn house.
No, I think part of that, no Larry Fitzgerald, I think part of it, Lou, was and two big defensive players in their defensive front out of that game as well. So I agree. They're not that bad. I don't think they're as good as you have them going to the Super Bowl, right? Well, I'm not sure.
I said that they were going to the Super Bowl. We were playing a little game of bold predictions.
Oh, that's
okay?
right.
Let's not
hold you to it.
Let's not hold me to Arizona going to the Super Bowl.
That's bold. Yeah. This hour brought to you by Complancy
Insurance. Bold prediction with Kansas City.
Kansas City and Green Bay. Kansas City and Tampa. That's
more
boring.
Choices, more savings, Complansky.com. Lou's going to offer his apology to Danny Ainge. I'm hearing that's what everybody's supposed to do because Danny came up with a trade exception. Yes, from Charlotte. We'll get to it next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.